all three failed bombing plots in Glasgow and London together. They're working on a lead suggesting suspicious contacts with Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the 10 suspects taken into custody, seven of which are physicians. British authorities now believe they have all of the suspects in this particular cell contained. One of the captives is a medical technician. She is the wife of one of the doctors. Heathrow Airport's international terminal received quite a scare today. A suspicious package caused major delays. Evacuation orders put many flyers out on the sidewalk beneath a pelting rainstorm. 108 British Airways departing flights were canceled, while arriving flyers stayed aboard their planes for hours on the tarmac. More than 41 million Americans are expected to take to the roads for the holiday, while an estimated 4.7 million will fly in and out of U.S. airports. They can expect some delays stemming from security concerns. U.S. military forces killed at least 23 insurgents suspected of having links with Al-Qaeda during a fierce battle in Iraq's western Anbar province. According to U.S. military sources, insurgents there were attempting to reestablish a base of operations using large-scale suicide bomb attacks. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's cabinet is taking steps toward meeting the benchmarks set by the U.S. Iraqi officials have approved the draft key oil law, which will define distribution of the country's oil revenues. Debate could begin on its approval as soon as tomorrow. President Bush said that he will not rule out a pardon for former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby. The president did spare Libby a 30-month prison sentence yesterday, but he is still on probation and ordered to pay a $250,000 fine. The CDC has now downgraded the severity of Andrew Speaker's tuberculosis. Instead of being the most drug-resistant strain, it is a highly drug-resistant strain and is treatable. Speaker set off an international health scare by traveling on commercial flights after health officials told him not to. North Korea has agreed to containment and surveillance measures by UN nuclear inspectors to verify a shutdown of its nuclear arms program, according to a report from the IAEA. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have four convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our four branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank. SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The AMA reports that a small amount of dark chocolate, that's the tart kind or the bitter kind, enjoyed daily, lowers blood pressure without causing weight gain. 6.3 grams, about the size of a couple of Hershey's chocolate kisses, lowered blood pressure. White chocolate didn't do anything, though. A new survey of family physicians shows that 55% of men have not had a physical in the last year, and 25% report waiting as long as possible before getting medical help for pain or illness, while 79% described their health as good to excellent, but when they were quizzed about the details, their lifestyles painted a less healthy picture. GM reported U.S. sales slid 21% in June, Ford dropped 8%, but Japanese automakers Toyota, Honda, and Nissan posted double-digit gains. Charles Schwab Corporation set to distribute $3.5 billion to its stockholders after the recent lucrative sale of its wealth management subsidiary. Charles Schwab himself will realize $405 million with the sale. Boeing is getting ready to unveil its newest passenger jet in 13 years. The 787 Dreamliner is the world's first commercial jet made primarily of plastic. It rolls out of the hangar on July 13th. And the former CEO of 7-Eleven is going to take over the helm of Blockbuster. Oil is up 32 cents. The Dow was up 42 points today. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America. Welcome to verse 8 and chapter 8 and page 8 and book 8 of Strictly Confidential. I'm Peter Godbold, your slightly demented yet curiously refreshing host with a soft, chewy gay center and a crunchy coat of deadly serious. I could not be happier to be here and to have you along. Welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio, and thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. The show site is at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to all of the guests, as well as the chat room, the live stream, the main network site, so that you can have a look at all the other fine hosts on this wonderful network. Again, that's at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. The telephone number for calling in is area code 304-658-5912. That's 304-658-5912. That will ring in West Virginia. We're using those lines temporarily until the X is repaired. We were struck by a series of severe storms that passed through, well, both West Virginia and my location, too. You know, as we discussed last night, homosexuals are now in charge of the weather. The religion industry has given us full control. And, you know, any time the studio annoys me in any way, I give them storm, you know. Oh, Bob, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. I honestly, but in any case, be afraid. Be very afraid. We now control the weather. Now, you know, Bob and Wayne were just talking. I got you, boy. I got you, boy, right here. I'm holding it in my hand. I'm holding the pan. I got you, boy. I got your supporter. I got the guy with the big bucks. I've got Bill Gates. Do you know what he did? You're not going to believe it. He just donated a huge portion of Planet Out's. Planet Out, you know, they were running low on money. They needed $26.2 million. So anyway, through his Cascade investment arm, he and some other investors put in the full $26 million of funding for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered online community, Planet Out. Now, I don't really want to knock Planet Out because I go there, so I don't know a whole lot about it, but I will tell you about a year ago I subscribed to their newsletter, and it was hell on earth trying to unsubscribe for it. Oh, dear Lord, it got to where, you know, they came too often, and there was nothing in there that I really needed, because I'm far more political than that site seemed to be. Not that there's anything wrong with Planet Out. Oh, no, nothing wrong with it. I'm just a little bit more political than they seem to be, and so I tried to unsubscribe, and my God in heaven, I thought those queens would never stop sending me that newsletter. It was like a Venus flytrap. There's no way out. But in any case, Little Billy, and he owes me one. I've supported that man's software since the early versions of DOS. I tell you what, the man owes me one. I've been his hoe for a long, long, long time, supporting everything from DOS to Windows to NT Server all the way through, and I still have to deal with it to this day. Little Billy, you owe us one. Write us a check. You'll never miss it. And by the way, you look marvelous. Yes, Planet Out did a photograph of him on the Planet Out, I guess it's in their print publication, and he just looks marvelous. They must have airbrushed the hell out of that thing. Anyway, yeah, that's just a word about Little Billy. He's my friend. Today was strange. It was very strange. You know, we were talking earlier, at least Bob was. I was there in spirit anyway, and about the amount of time that the various hosts put into preparing a show. Now, you know, the third week or the second week, I don't know. Anyway, I'm fairly new at this. So I have been putting in an inordinate amount of show prep time simply because you know, have this fear of, oh my God, there's 20 minutes left in the program and I've run out of pieces of paper. That's an ongoing nightmare. So anyway, you know, I'll tell you how many hours I have been putting in a day. I've suspended all other activity except for prepping for this show. And that had to eventually end. And so today I kind of went back to the real world. I had a dentist appointment this morning. Doggy went with me. She's a golden retriever, by the way. She goes with me everywhere. We're bonded at the paw. She was given to me when she was 3 years old by a family that could not keep her, and she is the love of my life. So anyway, she went with me. So she was waiting out in the car. The windows were down, of course. And I was telling the dental assistant who was working with the dentist, and lo and behold, she comes marching back into the room, and she has taken a bunch of pictures of Doggy with her head hanging out through your digital camera. What a fun dentist. I had a great time there today. And then, I had to work today, too. Now, this just wasn't a shopping day, mind you, but I did have to do some other things. So I did actually work. But after I left the dentist's office, I went by Target because I needed to pick up a few personal items. And was walking down the men's department, and, of course, it took me by the men's underwear, and then I did a double take. I couldn't believe it. Do you know that Target is selling camouflage men's briefs? Now, I've heard of hiding it, but don't you think camouflage is going just a little bit too far? Jeez Louise, I believe it. Anyway, I picked up a couple of things there, and then I went to work. I had clients to deal with. So anyway, the reason I'm going through this long story is to explain to you that I'm not as comfortable as I normally am because I didn't put in, well, I'm not going to tell you how many hours I normally put in. I'd be embarrassed. But anyway, I just don't have it quite as together as I normally do. I normally have, you know, articles sorted and highlighted. So tonight you're going to hear papers flying it's going to be strange. So anyway, I do need you. You guys give us a call. I'd love to talk to you at 304-658-512. I can close that window. I'll save the changes. Okay. I told you, I'm just going to do this one quickly. We'll go to a break after this. I told you guys last night, remember we were talking about the log closet Republicans, and we're talking about that Republican hack who just did this big national survey talking about, the public is all supporting gay marriage, like 71% are for it, and unions and adoption and all going. And I pointed out to you at the time that this guy's a Republican hack. He was like Bob Dole's campaign manager back then, and basically what he was doing, he was turning out a custom survey fudge. I mean, you know, Republicans lie, let's face it. It may come as a complete shock to you, but, you know, not to most of our listeners. But it was all, you know, roses and, you know, stick with the log cabin Republicans because, you know, they're doing the right thing and we'll fix this party. And I started ranting about fish rotting from the head down. Anyway, today I was correct in telling you that the actual real report came out today. This was done by the Pew Research Center. The percentage of American public that opposes gay marriage has significantly increased over the last year, according to a national survey released by Pew, and it says that the percent of the public that supports civil unions has also reached its lowest mark since October 2003. It dropped to a low of 51% in 2006, this is for marriage, and the percentage of public that now opposes allowing gays and lesbians to marry has actually risen to 57%. I think I stated that backwards. In any case, the real figure is that 57% of Americans, a clear majority, oppose gay marriage. The entire report's like 88 pages long. It goes into great detail. And, of course, the groups that are most likely to take issue with gay men, I assume they mean heterosexual men, older adults, 50 and above, and less educated, read that, knuckle-draggers. Protestants, read that, Baptists, and regular church attendees, which the ones that actually attend more than once a week, and we can actually refer to them as addicts. Democrats are more divided. They're 48% who oppose it. This is what Pew says. 48% of Democrats oppose gay marriage, and 42% support it. You can be sure that this will even put the Democratic presidential candidates even further in the hole about saying anything positive about it. Civil unions was like equally divided amongst Democrats, probably 45% to 44%. The evangelicals are the most against it, followed by regular Republicans. The interesting thing about this is that the survey also shows that regarding marriage, that parenting, the idea of having children, has fallen to 8th out of 9 on the list of factors that people associate with successful marriages. In other words, children fall behind sharing household chores, good housekeeping, adequate income, happy sexual relationship. I didn't know straight people had sex. I thought that was immaculate. It was only those dirty gay guys. Faithfulness. This is a radical change. Back in 1990, 65% were saying that children were very important to a good marriage. Do you think that that's because these Republican values have seeped into the American psyche? Gee, do you think that maybe the reason that parents don't give a good goddamn about their kids anymore is these good Republican values? Go to hallelujah. Yes, that's exactly what it is. I'm so damn fed up with them I could scream, but you know that. We'll take a little break here, and we'll come back in just a few minutes. And I love you guys. I really do. Thank you, Ed.
Everybody, come on. Everybody loves a muscle boy. A muscle boy, sexy, a muscle boy, hot. A muscle boy, number one. Strutting down the street, a posing at the beach with that bubble butt going on. All bricks and steel, he'll flex. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is Rick.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up with John Fox at his new time, 10 a.m. Eastern.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
We'll take a look at two famous recording artists that mocked the Smothers Brothers on stage after too much to drink. And you'll never guess what one of them had on his head. And it wasn't a lampshade. Tune in to Foxed Up this Thursday at the new time, 10 a.m. Eastern, with John Fox at the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
I want to see your face.
Oh, I so love that song. Oh, I wish we could just play it all, but I know I only set a clip. Oh, I'm going to send that up one night as one of our dance tracks of the night. That's just such a fabulous song. It's by Lime, and they were just huge in the bars that I used to play in, and we had a great time. But, you know, speaking of this thing about the percentage of people who are now against gay marriage who weren't before, I'm trying to fathom that. I'm wondering if this is a spike. Does this have to do with the fact that, Matthew Shepard law, the hate crimes law, that they're claiming that that's going to interfere with their freedom of speech? Has that got them riled up? Is it this thing in Massachusetts where the House and the Senate, or the houses in Massachusetts, basically kicked the bigots to the curb and said, no, you're not going to have the majority vote on the rights of a minority? I don't know. This is a fairly large sample, by the way. I think I did 88 pages. I don't see the number exactly. It was randomly selected here. It was randomly selected, and it was done through March the 14th of 07, and it's being released now. And it was a nationally represented sample of 2,020 adults. So, as best I can tell you, Pew is a nonprofit organization, and their surveys are fairly accurate. I think I may be wrong about that, but I don't think I'm wrong about that. If I am, please let me know. This caught me completely off guard. Has anybody heard about BlogRater? BlogRater, R-A-T-E-R. Now, BlogRater is a new piece of software that's out there, and it's designed to screen blogs so that it's safe for the children, and it assigns blogs anything from a G rating to NC-17. If I'm not mistaken, NC-17 is considered a pornography. It's interesting that what is happening is that sites that have the word gay and lesbian or queer on the sites are bisexual or lesbian, those are classified, and I'm being quite serious here, those are classified as, quote, bad words. And BlogRater rates these sites depending on the number of occurrences of these words, gay, lesbian, bisexual, etc., and gives them a negative rating and rates them down. Now, interestingly enough, this is, in my opinion, it's intentional, because the anti-gay sites, for instance, the Alliance Defense Fund, the American Family Association, Exodus International, the Family Research Council, Folks in the Family, you know, it goes on and on. These people, it never ends. They don't use the words, at least they rarely use the words, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, queer. Those words are normally used on sites where people accept themselves. And see, the sites that are putting us down, they use the word homosexual. Of course, homosexual is not weighted as a bad word, but words like gay and lesbian and bisexual are considered bad words. So here's the test on this, and here's the way it works out. There's a blog called After Ellen. It is an LGBT-oriented site. It's for lesbians. And by the way, I need to check that out. I'm sure I'll find some more lesbian news there. They rated After Ellen and NC-17, which is for pornography, because the word lesbian appeared 18 times, the word gay appeared 4 times, and the word queer appeared twice. They rated the site After Elton and NC-17 for pornography also, because it contained the word gay 33 times, the word sex twice, and the word sexy once. Blog Active, also, it's an LGBT-oriented political activism site. Gay times, gays plural 2 times, hell, hell's a bad word, can't say hell 1 time. They got rated R. I won't read all of the different sites, but basically the ratings for the gay political sites go NC-17, NC-17, R, NC-17, 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 NC-17. So we have all porn except for one R rating, because we don't hide behind the word homosexual. Now, if we look at the Christian right, the Alliance Defense Fund, gee, they got a G. General audiences, it's fine for your kids. The result, by the way, at the bottom of the search is no bad word. The American Family Association rating G. Gay appeared only once there. The ex-gay people, Exodus International, Also rated G, the word gays appeared once there. Family Research Council, PG, abortion was mentioned twice, and pain, I'm right, I'm serious, I'm telling you the truth, pain, P-A-I-N, was mentioned once. Pain is in their list of bad words. Okay, the Focus on the Family, that got a G, no bad words found. Focus on the Family Citizen Links, G, Love in Action, which is also a shoot of the ex-gay movement, also rated a G, no bad words found. So this is the way that they're trying to, and see, this is really particularly offensive to me because the, you know, it's supposed to be screening this for kids, and of course it's the gay and lesbian kids that are so beaten up by all of this who are trying to find out some real information other than, you know, what's being told to them in their recovery centers. So basically this just demonstrates one thing to me. It shows me that the anti-gay people are good at one thing and one thing only, and that's cloaking their evil message in the spirit of love and freedom. What a bunch of jackasses. It's hard to take some of this stuff days. Oh, yes, that's called, what was that called again? That's called Blog Raider. B-L-O-G Raider. Check your own blog. Go to Blog Raider and check your own blog. See how you fare. This was sent in by Andy in the Netherlands. Andy is extremely concerned about this because this is happening basically in his backyard. He put it, it was happening very nearby. Apparently a gay gang is allegedly luring victims on the internet, and when they arrive, they drug them and rape them to infect them with HIV, and this has really shocked the Netherlands. Police are saying that they've arrested three men and four victims aged 25 to 50, and they were accusing them of rape and premeditated bodily harm, is the way they phrase it. In some cases, the victims were raped and also injected with HIV-positive blood. A fourth man who was with the suspects supplied GHB, which is, of course is the date rape drug, and ecstasy tablets. And of course, the minister, the health minister over there is saying this is horrible. One of the suspects is a male nurse. He's facing up to 16 years in prison. And since this has hit the media over there, more victims have come forward on that. Police chief says they have confessed, and their motive was, they say that it, quote, excited them. These people were drugged and raped, pure and simple. It's shameful. And these men were lured there. They were invited to gay orgies via the internet. I assume it was some sort of sex encounter site of some sort. When they arrived, they were drugged with their drinks, and then they were either raped or injected with the HIV-infected blood. Critics are worried that this is going to have an extremely negative effect on liberal views in the gay rights community over there, and because it's been, gay marriage has been legal for 6 years. In the 2006 poll, Dutch support for gay rights was in Europe at 82%. This is, of course, very disturbing. You know, it actually, to me, demonstrates a whole lot of anger on their part to do this to other people. Revenge, I suppose, to infect other people. You know, you wonder if it's because that there's nobody to turn to for help, or you wonder if they're just plain evil. Personally, I just think they're a bunch of damn drug addicts. I mean, they were supplied ecstasy. They've got ecstasy tablets. They've got GHB. You know, they're partying. They're, you know, a sex site. Sounds like a bunch of drug users to me. You know, a gay community is like any other. I mean, we've got some pretty screwed up people out there. Yes, I've met one or two of them. Yes, I have. I got a couple buried in the backyard, but this is strictly confidential, and we're not telling them that. No, sirree, Bob, we're not telling them that. And this one is a long one, and I don't want to go to this one right now. And tell you what, let's do it. It's 9:29. Why don't we do a bottom of the hour break? And when we come back from that break, why don't we go directly into the request of the night? We have Bronski Beat requested by Jim, Small Town Boy. Now, Bronski Beat started out in 1984. That was their first song, Small Town Boy. It's a story about a boy who was thrown out by his family for being gay. It was huge in the United Kingdom, hit number 3, number 48 in the U.S., and it was a huge gay dance club hit. I played it, and it was also a gay anthem. This is the extended version. It has the full extended intro, and the full extended dance mix. If you heard it played in clubs, the intro is skipped because there's no dance beat to the intro. This is the full track. So, Agnes, if you'd run a break for us, and we'll go into that for Jim, and I'll see you back in a minute.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
You can stop scanning that dial, because he's right here, on the horn. And when he comes, it will be music to your ears. I better go get ready. He'll be here real soon.
You are the baby in my car. In the dark, you are the ultimate star. You pick me up from above. Your unconditional love takes me to paradise. I belong to you.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wide Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
People should be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to enter into.
People should be free to enter into the relationships that they choose.
I think different states are likely to come to different conclusions, and that's appropriate.
When it comes to conferring legal status on relationships, that is a matter left to the state.
I don't think there should necessarily be a federal policy in this area.
This message brought to you by Lynn and Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Ah, full song. Jim, thank you for requesting that. I haven't heard that played through in a long, long time. Many of you have no doubt seen that video. I think it was run on MTV, and I think it's on YouTube. If you Google Small Town or YouTube Small Town Boy or Bronski Beat. But that is the full-length, industrial-strength, gay bar-rated version. And you know what fun. I'm just so pleased to be involved with a radio program where, you know, the folks can send us an email or drop us a note. And if I don't have it, Glenn has it. If Glenn doesn't have it, Daryl has it. If Daryl doesn't have it, Doyle has it. I'll tell you, got a whole little network going on here. I've got little music buddies in every corner of the country, I got to tell you. And there's just not a whole lot of high-energy gay dance music that we cannot quickly lay our hands on. And I'm just so pleased to be around. The telephone number here is 304-658-5912. And I know that you must have something to say to me. We've covered a lot of topics. Don't be shy. That's what we're here for. Kroger, what do eggplant and plastic bags and gay guys and lesbians have in common? Kroger. Actually, Kroger, with an R. We don't have Kroger here in Tallahassee, so I don't pronounce it correctly, but it's Kroger. Actually, it's huge. Kroger is everywhere. I think there's like 2,000, 2,500 stores are everywhere. And no doubt you probably shopped at one. I did when I lived in Oregon. I believe there were Krogers up there. But anyway, Kroger in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, they have these community newspapers that they put out in their stores. You know, you can pick one up that has like houses for sale. There's one that the strip clubs. You know, it's not like they're modest there. You know, the strip clubs in Nashville, little advertisements, maybe not too X-rated, but, you know, strip clubs nonetheless. So anyway, they pulled a regional gay lesbian newspaper from their store shelves, from the free rack, so that people couldn't get them. They said that they were not going to have anything in their store that promoted political, religious, or other specific agendas. You know, I wish to God somebody would send me a copy of the gay agenda. I mean, other than the cloak of invisibility, that's the only part I know. I know we've got that in there, but I've never really seen a copy. But apparently, Kroger was very upset by it. Now, it wasn't pornography; it was just what's going on in the local gay community. And it was this newspaper, by the way, is in all the other markets. Atlanta carries the newspaper in the Kroger stores. And see some other cities. It's just a common thing, but Nashville pulled it. Organizers boycotted the stores in Nashville, and it's estimated that it cost them about $15,000 in lost sales from the gay folks that shopped at Kroger up there. And in any case, they released a news statement on last Monday saying that they're going to put that publication out, that they're sorry they didn't follow the procedure. And of course, the distributor of the newsletter, the actual publisher who's hooked up with the people that write it, claimed it was Kroger's fault. Kroger claimed it was the distributor's fault. But bottom line is the distributor did put them in the stores, so the distributor must have done it right, and Kroger pulled them. So just another example of we don't want to see that stuff. You folks don't exist. As long as you don't exist, everything's fine, but boy, you exist. Better not exist in our sphere. Disco. I'm going to talk about children's books for a little while. Children's books that have a gay theme. There's one called And Tango Makes Three. Now, this is a particularly sweet book. These are picture books with little stories for small kids, illustrated children's books. And now, the book called Tango Makes Three is based on actual events about a couple of male penguins in Central Park Zoo, and they raised a hatchling. Now, how they got hold of the egg, I don't know. Maybe it was abandoned. Maybe whatever went snatched. I don't know, but these boys wanted a baby. They raised this hatchling, and they did a mighty fine job of it. They were a nice little family. They were these guys were photographed in magazines of these two gay penguins. And Organizers have come up with a campaign now to put that in the mature section of the library and a warning about its content, and they want it removed from school libraries altogether. Families have filed a federal lawsuit alleging that their civil rights were infringed on another book that a teacher read called King and King. Now, King and King is a fairy tale about a prince who refused to allow his mother to insist that he marry a princess, and instead, he falls for a handsome prince. You go, boy. The book included a unit on marriage. It was in a unit on marriage in Massachusetts, where same-sex marriage is currently legal. According to the LA Times, gay references in children's literature is still very, very touchy. The mere mention of two gay fathers in a book called The Trouble with Babies basically tore the whole community down. There was also a Pittsburgh mother who demanded it be removed from the shelves because of its, and here we go again, homosexual agenda. My God, I'd love to have a copy of that. It's kind of sad, really, not to promote anything. It's just that kids that are growing up in, there are a lot of families, gay, lesbians raising kids and gay guys raising kids, their own kids from previous marriages or adoptions, whatever. And these kids, don't grow up in an environment that shows them that it's okay to have an alternative family. If you're not, white middle class, you're just left out. And librarians are getting to the point that it's difficult to fight them anymore. They only have so much time, and they only have so much energy, and they know it's going to go huge when one of these nutcases comes down on one of these books. So oft times they just take it off the list. It's a negative influence on the publishers and also on the librarians, and they removed Trouble with Babies in Pittsburgh. The reality is that parents who object to the book have taken over the school board, and I just don't have the energy to fight these anymore. According to statistics, 10% of the children who read these books will grow up to either be gay or lesbian. And it'd be nice if their first exposure to that idea was that gay people in the world are families and they fit in. So when, little Johnny falls in love with that really cute brainy boy in the computer class, he won't be totally freaked. But, no, we can't have that. We can't have that. And, an even higher percentage of those kids are going to grow up to know someone who's gay or lesbian or grow up to love someone who's transgendered or bisexual. And, the way things go when you're a child, it would have made a huge difference in my life if I had been exposed to that, if I had known that I wasn't the only one. Growing up gay in the South is pretty intense. I mean, you've got to have balls to grow up gay in the South. There are more books, but I'm going to go to Wayne now. We have Wayne on line one. And welcome to the show. Hope you're not going to fire me.
No, I'm not going to fire you, man, but I mean, I think it's real important to tell the truth now. I mean, penguins? aren't penguins covered under the Geneva Convention? Nobody can think bad things about penguins, for Christ almighty Peter.
These penguins are of
How
the
can they
devil.
Ban
they
penguins
are...
anywhere?
They're of the devil, Wayne. They're possessed. They are. They're evil penguins. They just won't do, and they stole a baby. They stole an innocent baby. They were going to pervert it.
The right wingers are picking on the penguins, man. I can't believe it. I mean, I've put up with a lot of stuff throughout my life, but the penguins, yes. They should be covered under the Geneva Convention.
They're so cool,
huh?
I like penguins. They're so cool.
They're cute, man. How the hell do you tell a girl from the boy anyway? I don't know.
Well, that's true. That could have been it. They maybe they weren't gay. Maybe they were just nearsighted.
Well, no wonder they're gay. I mean, what the hell? They're confused. I can't tell the difference. Can you?
I really can't tell the difference. And what with the ice sheets melting and the temperature going up and then the
they got
the,
a hell of a lot. Up. More to worry about than who's gay and who isn't.
That's true. Now, I would love to meet a penguin DJ one day. That would be real fun to hear what the hits are being played down in the penguin land.
Okay, listen. I called you a while back and told you about this candidate that And I, you know, I don't know if you even remember, but I want to find out who, I, you know, I watched some YouTube thing or something or other or all that. And, you know, it was right-winger against the liberal or progressive or whatever you want to call it. And one woman was, of course, she was against gay marriage. She was against abortion. She was da, 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 da. And the other liberal or progressive woman stated that, of course, she was pro-choice. And as far as gay marriage goes, she said, infidelity is a threat to marriage. Spousal abuse is a threat to marriage. Poverty is a threat to marriage. War is a threat to marriage. Marriage is not a threat to marriage. Now, you know what I'm talking about.
Well
said. Huh? Do you
that
know
was, that was well said.
Huh?
Well said. That was well said. Marriage is not a threat. And only in America...
Well, no, it's
the granting...
not a threat to marriage. I mean, if two people love each other, who the hell cares?
Exactly. Well, and only in this country could granting civil rights to a group of people be a threat. Be a threat to someone else. I mean... It just doesn't make sense. It
doesn't
add up.
It doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense at all. But, you know, that's what the right wing has been able to accomplish by taking over media, controlling media. You know, they could drive this thing, you know, these kinds of things into people's minds and stuff like that. But I don't, you know.
Yes, they've done a good job.
If somebody wants to get married, I don't care what their gender is, man, I bless it. I think that it's a wonderful institution, married. I was married for a lot of years, and, well, I can't speak highly enough about it. But let's get back to these people controlling the weather and stuff, and the light.
Oh, wait.
Peter.
Yes, 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 we are. You know, Jerry Falwell... He spoke it. He spoke it in the name of the Lord that it's the gay folks causing this weather. And now we have a from the Church of England. We have one of the bishops over there saying that we've caused the torrential rains and the storms over there. And then Jim called last night, and apparently I forget the name of the civilization, but it was one of the apparently boogery caused earthquakes. So it seems to me both historically and currently. You know, lesbians and gay folks are in charge of the weather. All that has to happen, Wayne, is one guy kisses another guy in Texas. It pisses God off terribly, and so he destroys straight people from South Florida all the way to North Carolina.
And I don't want to lay any blame or anything, but I mean, is you know, does that have anything to do with us putting you on the air that we've been getting all these lightning strikes? I mean, I'm not blaming anybody, Peter.
But, you know, it couldn't be me because I honestly, I don't get any kisses from Dougie. You know, I'm not really, you know, I have a very gay mind, but I'm a little rusty. But, you know, it's not me. But I think that we have listeners that are maybe upset with us for some reason.
No. Well, that's exactly what I'm not saying that you personally are causing the lightning. I'm saying that, you know, you may be a lightning rod. Oh, God,
well,
I don't believe I just said that. I just thought of... Anyway.
Oh, Jesus. I got to tell you, these preachers, they're just giving us way too much power. No human being should have the kind of power that those preachers are giving the gay folks. We can control what, you know, there had to be a bunch of gay people. There had to be a drag queen on the Titanic, and she was right in the middle of her big number when they hit that iceberg.
And somebody,
you know, that's
pissed
what
her off, right?
No doubt.
And I mean, you know,
no
they
doubt.
Weren't as technologically advanced as they are now. I mean, you know, that time they threw an iceberg at them. See, now they're all the way up to lightning.
Yeah, I was suggesting recently that all the hurricanes need to be named after huge gay divas. Like there could be Hurricane Barbara Streisand, Hurricane Cher, Hurricane Shirley Temple. You know, the whole bit.
Oh, okay.
We might as well.
That would be good. How about Jim Neighbors hurricane.
I mean, can we go that reserve way? Them for the very small hurricanes. No, only the huge disco divas can be like fully rated Cat 5 hurricanes.
Okay.
No, that's got to be Donna Summer. No, we can't have
that. I'll let you set the rules, man. You know more about it tonight.
Yes, my audience would be extremely upset if I passed on that one.
Okay. Listen, man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoy your show. And
thank you so much, you know, thank you for the opportunity to do this.
Oh, well, you should.
It means a lot.
Everybody should have a voice. This network is a wonderful thing. And, you know, we've fought for a long time not to even ask anybody for anything, but we're getting into a position where in order to stay on the air, we have to do that.
Well, yes, and the truth of the matter is that people do support things like this. You know, you see, like Truth Out, the publication they send regularly, Buzz Flash, I'm not sure about Huffington Post, but probably them too, but all of them have, like, you know, every month there's like this huge push for $75,000 or $100,000 a month. What are they doing with that much money? It's just a freaking text website. They're not streaming video. They're not streaming audio. They don't have any bandwidth. I mean, you know, what is the deal with that?
You know, there's one thing that, you know, we always forget. I mean, the people of Head On, the people that donate their time, like you and Bob Kincaid and Joe and on and on and on and on. I always regret when I start saying names because I know I'll forget somebody. You know, fact of the matter is, you know, Huffington Post and the cost and all these different things, they might actually pay some people, Peter.
Oh, that's true. You know, do you think?
And, you know, if you pay people, it costs a lot more than having people work, you know, for free.
That's probably it. I bet they buy the computers for the staff and everything.
Yeah, you know, you mean you're not going to buy your own equipment. I mean, you know what I mean?
Jesus.
You know. So
I know, but what it means though is that the network at this point in time has got people who are here have their heart and soul in it. There's nobody here for a paycheck, and that really means a lot.
Well, that's a real good thing because there certainly ain't no paycheck. Never been one issued.
Oh Lord,
never been one.
But
issued.
I keep doggy in bones, and I keep gas in the car, and. You know, I don't clean the house very often. You know, if the gay inspectors ever came by, they would take away my license.
Is that
they
right?
Would put, they would put a gay condemned.
I don't want any kind of inspectors drop by my house. Believe me.
Me either. I so need queer guy friends. I really do. I'm just not wired the way, but I wish I were. God bless them.
Yeah. Listen, man, always good talking to you. And
you too, Wayne.
Just keep on hanging on. You know, somewhere or another, we're going to get through all this, and we're going to find somebody that realizes what this thing is worth, and we're going to get funded. But until we do that, well, if you got a few bucks, man, we could use it. You know, phone bills and things like that. Well, we got to stay on the air long enough. That's all we got to do. And we
this
will
is true.
Find
the PayPal.
Yes,
the PayPal button no doubt allows subscriptions so that you could contribute the same amount each month, and it doesn't have to be a huge amount of money. These things add up quickly. We have a lot of listeners.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have a huge amount of money, we take that.
We'll
too.
Take that too. Yes, we will, and get even bigger and better. You know, but there was a discussion going on in the chat room about. You know, what is it with progressives? Are they cheap? Are they what? But, you know, Bob has explained this before. I mean, in these right-wing organizations and all that, you know, they finance people and, you know, give them $10 million and they say in a couple years we want to see something. Progressives give money and, like Bob has said, you know, they want an accounting for every stamp, donut, the whole nine yards. And,
Yes, Bob, I think, has hit the nail on the head there. I think that they are extremely worried about anything that's, I don't know, I hate to use the word goodness, but, you know, goodness alive, I mean, all we have to do is submit the phone bills. That alone would exceed any sort of funding. So,
yes, it most definitely would.
It's not cheap. We have multiple toll-free lines and the streaming costs, the whole thing. It's huge.
And everybody works for free. I mean, if everybody demanded to be paid, we'd be off the air tomorrow. And I want people to remember that. I mean, because you guys, well, without you, there would be no horn. It's just that simple. All of you guys. And I mean everybody involved, so. Let's,
well, Wayne, it takes a village. It truly takes a village to do this.
Yes, it
and,
does.
We are all of the safe spirit.
Don't bring up Hillary again.
Yeah, that woman's
too. That was last show. So. Anyway,
okay.
Brother, have a good evening. Happy 4th of July, and keep on doing your good work. And I will talk
Thank
to you,
you
later.
So much. Thank you so much. Bless you, Wayne. And that was nice. The first time Wayne called me on this show, that was the night let's see, what was it? Somehow or another, I was him. Oh yes, I remember now. I remember that night. I was like a second or third night, and I had forgotten to throw a switch. So I thought I was happily here chatting along, and I hadn't hit the correct switch on a software switch. So I was streaming silence for the first 10 minutes. So anyway, we got past that, star glitch. And then Wayne called. I was like so freaking out. In fact, my friend Daryl, I was talking to him after the show that night. He said, "Boy, you sounded so freaked when Wayne called." I'm like, "Yeah, dude, he like scared the hell out of me." So, Wayne is the man. He truly is. Agnes, we'll just skip this top of the hour thing. I'm going to finish these books and there's just a couple, three more things here, and then we'll do our actual for real dance track of the night. Now this one is really different. I won't tell you what it is just yet. We'll get into that in a minute. So anyway, these books regarding like The King and I, we're talking about the children's books and what's going on with that. It takes a significant amount of money to get these things rolling because the volume of sales is not that great. And, they're like four-color print jobs and the whole bit. So unless they can get these books into schools and book clubs, they can't make any money on the books. And, obviously, the guy has to make money. This goes all the way back to, remember, 1989, Heather Has Two Mommies, and in 1991 there was Daddy's Roommate. And, by the way, if you ever come across these books, I recommend you buy them because these are going to be valuable one day. These are the very first efforts in including kids in the real world, and I really think that they're going to be valuable one day. I honestly do. There was one last book I want to talk about. It's called "It's Okay to Be Different." Now, this guy takes a different approach. He rather than bring out a specific relationship, he includes a lot of different people. For instance, things to get kids laughing, like it's okay to eat macaroni and cheese in the bathtub, perfect for kids, Then it advances to things like it's okay to have wheels and be in a wheelchair. It's okay to have two moms. It's okay to have... It's one of those kind of books, very simple, very straightforward. And, it's a huge challenge to parents, to gay and lesbian parents who are raising kids because they want their kids to see this kind of inclusive material. And it's getting harder and harder to come by because, some big old blue-haired lady says, "Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no." His name is Parr. He was reading this book. He was reading it in a school in San Francisco. And parents were required to sign a permission slip allowing their children to hear him read one page. Now, the kids could all hear the whole book because it had things like, it's okay to eat macaroni in the bathtub. But when they got to the page that said it's okay to have two moms and two dads, the kids had to bring a permission slip. Now, when he got to that page, two children had to be escorted out of the room so that they couldn't hear the page, and then they were brought back into the room. Now, not only does that, those kids knew what they were being removed from. And also think about the little gay kids that are growing up there, or lesbian kids, or kids with same-sex parents. You know, they are in a situation where they know that they are so bad that their family is so wrong that children have to be removed from the room before they can even hear it. You know, this stuff just... You know, one day it will pass. You know, one day we'll look back on it and it'll be, an old memory. And, like this GLBT museum we talked about in San Francisco the other night. All this will be part of a museum, and I guess banned children's books right up there, in the GLBT museum. And we'll do one more story before break. We've got Michael Glazette, good-looking guy, also the founder of a Canadian magazine called Young Gay America. Now, this magazine is defunct now. It's a Canadian magazine. And he is the latest to be indoctrinated into the ex-gay lifestyle, the ex-gay lie, I should say. Now, like most of these ex-gay folks, we just heard huge apologies from them just a few nights ago, but, he's like a day late, and he's just now joining him. So, like all the ex-gays, they can't just, say, oh, I'm so happy, and now I'm happy, and I wasn't happy before. No, they can't just, have that in their own lives. They got to go out there and sell it, honey, so it becomes big news. So he has written a huge story for World Net Daily, and he goes and he demonizes the former gay rights movement. He was a leader, and he talks about queers, and he says homosexuality delivered to young minds is by its very nature pornographic, and he goes on about his darkest days of late night parties, substance abuse. What in the hell has that got to do with falling in love? That we're talking about the party boy lifestyle. That boy was burned out on the party boy lifestyle. If he didn't like that, that hadn't got a hell of a lot to do with being gay. The last time I checked, a lot of straight kids are involved in the party lifestyle. Paris Hilton, for instance. And I hate the fact she did more time in jail than that jackass. So anyway, they try to make it sound like, late night parties and clubbing and drug use and poppers and bathhouses. And that's the same thing as same-sex desire. They're not the same things. They're not the same things. And I'm not surprised that a lot of the gay community is involved in that sort of thing, because we have no freaking guidance, thank you very much. Your pastors don't talk to us, thank you very much. Our parents never mention it to us. It's a huge thing. How the hell are gay kids supposed to know how to grow up? What in the hell are they supposed to think? Who's the role model? Freaking Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? That's not a role model. That's a freaking entertainment joke. Oh, I'm so damn tired of it. And then you got that, what's the guy, the TV show where the guy is, he lives with that woman, and, he's gay and she's not. What was the name of that show? I can't remember the name of it, but, that's not, he's not allowed to have a relationship on that show. It's just, he fun one-liners, and that's the extent of his gayness. Jesus Christ. He goes on, he writes about lust and lust-based sex and this neurotic process and, and the religious propaganda. Anyway, he keeps coming from the place that gays are godless. Now, that's a damn lie, too. You people hear me on this program every night. You know I'm a God freak. Hell, there are articles I put aside because they go on and on about God, and I'm sure you're tired of hearing it. Yes, thank you, in chat, production chat. That show was Will and Grace. I'm just wired that way. Yeah, but according to him, we're all godless. Nobody loves the Lord. Nobody's trying to do the right thing. Nobody's helping anybody. We're just sucking down ecstasy and cocktails. What a liar. And never mind that we're in all walks of life. Never mind that we're TV repairmen and truck drivers and soldiers in Iraq. No, according to him, we're all wearing boas and we're the ones up there on the gay pride floats. And God bless those people. I mean, we have our divas too. Jesus Christ. You people, straight people, I mean, people tell us they have the watermelon queen and the corn husk queen and the, Jesus Christ, and we can't even have one drag queen and a boa on a float? Jesus Christ, these people kill me.
What can I tell you? I'm just an old gay guy. What can I tell you? Lord, Lord, Lord. I'm going to do a story here in a minute. I think this story is too long, but it has to do with bisexuality. And I need to, like, drill down to it because it's kind of, you know, as I said, I wasn't quite as organized, didn't spend as much. Here we go. I don't like the tone of this article, quite frankly. It is by the Independent Gay Forum, but it's Do Bisexual Men Exist? But I think it's a topic that we might as well get into. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, you know, the Kinsey scale of 0 to 6, I'm a 6 in the Kinsey scale. I don't have a bisexual bone in my body, so I don't really understand bisexuality. No, I really understand straight people all that much, but, you know, whatever blows your skirt up. So, you know, I think I was trying to paint bisexuals as being, like, really they're gay, but they're ashamed to, you know, they're ashamed of their homosexuality, so really they say they're bisexual. But anyway, I'd like to get into this article because I don't particularly agree with that, but I'm hoping that we'll have someone, one of our bees in our little GLBT rainbow, give us a call and tell us about it. You know, that there are things, you know, like I understand that I gay men go through like phases in their lives. Are bisexual men, like, they'll be, I don't know, phases might not be the right word, but there are times that they go through periods that they're more attracted to men. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, what we better do is go ahead and roll into a break. It is just a few seconds till break time, so let's get a break in, then we'll do the bisexual story, and we've got more music tonight, and I'm so glad to be here. Agnes, we'll go to break. Thank you.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The United Steelworkers and the UK Union Unite are joining forces to support Colombian trade unionists and to get the US and UK governments to stop supplying military assistance to Colombia until human rights abuses there are stopped. The USW says thousands of Colombian union activists have been assassinated over a decade. USW's Wayne Ranick says the Solidarity for Colombian Trade Unionists is a joint international solidarity project that's part of a possible merger between the 1.2 million USW members and UK Unite's 2 million workers.
This will include pressing legal action against multinational companies that are accused of colluding with the paramilitaries in making these type of attacks. Obviously, we're going to continue sending activists and officials on solidarity missions to support our trade unions in Colombia, and we will also continue to provide legal support for trade unions involved in legal situations or imprisoned in Colombia.
A new ferry contract has organized labor concerned that Hornblower yachts will now be able to union bust from sea to shining sea. Jesse Russell reports.
Hornblower yachts signed a contract last week with the National Park Service that would allow it to take over the ferry service to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. Hornblower has been embroiled in a dispute with organized labor since taking over ferry duties to Alcatraz in San Francisco in 2006. When Hornblower took over that contract from the organized Blue and Gold fleet, they failed to hire the former Union Blue and Gold workers. Labor is concerned that Hornblower will choose not to use unionized ferry workers for the Statue and Ellis Island ferries. However, Hornblower does run a number of unionized operations around the country, including one to the south of New York City and Delaware. The company has said it is too early to know if it will use organized or unorganized workers.
Northwest Airlines flight attendants, represented by the AFACWA, have received cash and 401k contributions of about $14,500 each. That money comes from a $182 million equity claim negotiated by the union during Northwest's bankruptcy. Flight attendants were forced by the bankruptcy to accept pay and benefits cuts of roughly 40%.
Here is today's economic report. One of the most popular films in America this July 4th holiday is Michael Moore's documentary on the U.S. healthcare system, Sicko. But is the film accurate? CNN took a hard look at the film and said while the numbers and facts do add up, the only thing missing is context. 18,000 people do die in the United States because they are less likely to receive screening and preventive care. The United States does spend more than 15% of gross domestic product on healthcare. But there are some spots of sunshine missing from the film. Americans come second only to Germans when it comes to the shortest wait time for elective surgery.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org. Doug Cunningham, Workers' Independent News.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the inside scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, I believe I am back with you now, and I got to tell you, there's a lot of reaction to what I was saying in the chat room. We have a number who are bisexual there, and I can't blame them. I some of them had actually read this article before, and they, like I, didn't particularly care for the tone of it. In fact, their language was considerably stronger, and I don't really blame them. The general tone of this article is that basically what they're trying to say is basically there's no bisexuals. They're saying that it's a stage between shame and acceptance. Now, one person pointed out in the chat room that it's a lot like Focus on the Family material. It is from some place called the Independent Gay Forum, but nonetheless, I will discuss it. And article is also attempting to say that there's a political motivation behind it, that we would lose the B in GLBT if we did away with the bisexuals. And, of course, a lot of work needs to be done to figure this stuff out. And, you know, in trying to figure this article out, it seems to me they're going by two different standards here. The old standard, the Kinsey standard, which is the one that I'm accustomed to, and they rated folks from 0 to 6 in the Kinsey scale. And if I recall, what the definition was, the criteria was having reached orgasm with a member of the same sex, such that if you have never reached orgasm with a member of the same sex, this includes playing around in Boy Scouts all the way through adulthood, then you would be a 0 or exclusively heterosexual. If you've the opposite is true for a 6, you've never reached orgasm with a member of the opposite sex. But Kinsey points out that the huge number of people lies in between, and that the vast majority of the population is closer to 1 or 2, meaning almost exclusively heterosexual or had a homosexual experience in the past, and it's not something that's part of their lives now. And but the way they're trying to say, that's not what they're looking at anymore. What they're looking at is they're trying to say right now. I mean, right now, and you're like, well, in other words, they're doing this whole bit about, you know, the penal strain gauges, you know, where they show you pictures of the opposite sex or the same sex, and they measure the degree of arousal and this sort of thing. And they're pointing out that this is a very small study. It did not represent. There were only 33 people who identified them as bisexuals in this small study. And they were saying that That is expected. People who said they were heterosexual were aroused by women. People who said they were homosexual were aroused by men. They didn't include women in these tests, by the way. Which is pretty typical, don't you agree, women? We're never included in any damn thing. Good Lord. And Lottie's just pointing out in the chat room, why does sex have to be about this? Why can't it be about affection and homoeffectuals? Very good word. That just came up in the chat room. I've used the word homoemotional, too. Those are good words. I'm reading as I speak. You know, the chat room is a great place. You gotta stop in there. But they were saying that homosexuals, they are either aroused by men or women, but that they're never aroused by both, or at least not to any significant degree. So that in reality, bisexuals are either heterosexual or homosexual. They're not really bisexual, or you'd expect them to be aroused by both. Of course, a number of them also had no reaction to any porn at all. So, you know, the whole test is not very... is very scientific sound, and it leaves out the scientifically sound, and it leaves out the humanity of the situation. But you know, the best I can figure on this is that people go through phases in their lives, or episodes, or decades where they're primarily attracted to a member of the same sex, or then primarily attracted to a member of the opposite sex, and maybe this has to do with romantic relationships. I love this chat room. Oh, you guys have got to come. You got to come. So anyway, we're talking about what they're referring to as the queer theorist here, and like their political groups. And what they're trying to do is just make things very simple. That, you know, these are closet cases, and they need to be you know fleshed out or third in that phrase. In any case, the world, as Kenzie sees it, is it's not like we're sheep and goats we don't want to pretend that we live in a world of mythical unicorns either, but you know, we're all somewhere between. And you know, I'm bringing this up just for discussion because there are a lot of strong feelings about this. Obviously, I did not realize that, I don't know what I'm doing. Hell, I'm just thinking, I don't know what kind of pot I'm stirring up, but you know, these are things that we can talk about on this show, damn it. We can. It's not illegal here. We got these things. And speaking of William Sled, oh, I so didn't want to go here. But I'm going to go here, you know. Oh, we're angels free to tread. Now, William Sled, if you haven't seen William Sled, all you got to do is go to YouTube and type in William Sled, S-L-E-D-D. Now, William Sled is huge on YouTube. He has the largest number of subscribers to his videos. He does a series of videos where he talks about fashion and clothes, and his signature line when he opens the show is, "Hey, bitches!" And the kid's from, he's just a kid, he's from Paducah, Kentucky. So you really got to hand, he has managed to parlay himself into such a huge influence from Paducah, Kentucky. I mean, this is amazing. And I'll tell you too, before this show went on air, I contacted him several times for interviews to have him as a guest, simply because, you know, one, he was interesting to have done this coming from Paducah, Kentucky, and two, and I'll be quite frank with you, he has a huge number of people who watch him and listen to him. So, you know, heck, he's going to say, you know, mention the show, and you know, his people will drop by here, and if they like this show, you know, they'll stop by for the interview. You know the deal, you know, about promotion. So apparently a huge number of gay people just hate him. They just really hate him. I'm trying to figure out who his audience is. Maybe it's straight women who just like him because he's fun. I don't know. Here's what he says. This is a quote. "Listen, the only people that hate me are gays, and I don't know why it is. Maybe they're jealous, or maybe they're opinionated or whatever, but it doesn't bother me. I joke about it. I'm like, the only people who hate me are gays and the extreme religious right." And he says a few lines later, he says, in a quote, "As far as being stereotyped, that's the only thing I dislike about. Yes, I'm gay, but that's only a small part of me." And, you know, it's all well said and all that sort of thing. But apparently gay people hate him. Now, I didn't particularly care for him because he was, number one, he's so much younger than me, and I don't think we have a whole lot in common. But, you know, it's not like he's evil or anything. But anyway, the gay folks are saying, I'm reading some responses from gay people. Like somebody says they heard him on the Frank DeCaro show on Sirius last week, and he says, this person says he's a complete moron with absolutely nothing to say except, hey, bitches. And then someone else says two words, Paducah, Kentucky. And, I won't go ahead and read all of these, but there just seems to be a lot of gay folks that just cannot stand the man. And the only thing that really annoys me about him is his hair. And I mean, you'll say, but it's nothing. Far be it from me to, I'm not a hairstylist. I don't know. I didn't get the hairdresser gene. I've never stood behind a chair. Don't know a damn thing about it. But his hair is funny to me. But anyway, this guy Williams stopped by his site. And by the way, he's teaming up with Bravo, for crying out loud. He's been on the Yahoo front page. He's been talked about on, what is this morning show where Rosie O'Donnell just got kicked off? There was this huge blow up. I don't watch TV, so I can't. Thank you, The View. If it weren't for production chat, I'd be totally helpless. You know, Bob has an Agnes to help him. He's got his very own Agnes. I have Agnes, too. I've got one of the Kincaids, I don't know, but I got one of them in production chat who helped me. They give me cues when my mind goes blank. So anyway, that's my little comment on William Sled. I just don't know what to think about that. The gay guys hate him, but he's got a huge, it's the largest audience of people who watch video series on YouTube. So go figure. Stop by and tell me what you think. His name's Sled, S-L-E-D-D. And, we just did that break probably a little bit late. So I'll tell you what let's do now. Let's not do this bottom of the hour break. Let's just go ahead and do the lesbian, our lesbian song of the night. This one is by Katie Lang, and Katie came from Canada, from Alberta actually, and she lived in the Canadian prairies, and she was attracted to country music, Patsy Cline, and when she sang with Roy Orbison, that was a huge boost to her career, and quite frankly, I have down the name of the track that I have sent tonight, but it's Enough is Enough. Thank you, Jesus. It was nothing. I'm so funny. It's called Enough is Enough, and it's a fabulous version of it. It's really kicks butt. So anyway, this is our lesbian track of the night, and it's by Katie Lang. I really love her, and it's called Enough is Enough. Let's run that one, please.
It's raining. It's pouring. My love life is boring me to tears. After all these years, no sunshine, no moonlight, no stardust, no sign of romance. We don't stand a chance. But they turned out to be like every other one I love. I love. We won't waste love.
always liked Katie Lang. In fact, there was one of her very early songs that I just loved. You're going to laugh at me when you hear how I got this. I was traveling somewhere. I was at a truck stop. You know how truck stops sell these cassette tapes with like various country and western hits on them? Well, I bought one, and it had Katie Lang on it, and she was singing this song, and the lyrics were, "Do you still get a thrill when you see me coming round the hill?" I loved that song, and that cassette has been gone for years. If anybody knows the name of that track, I'd love to locate it, and I'd love to play that, because that is just a fabulous song. "You still get a thrill when you see me coming round the hill, do you, darling?" Oh, Lord, that woman can sing. She can sing. And speaking of our lesbian friends, in New York City, a woman got ejected. Yes, she was thrown out of a restaurant bar for being too masculine. Oh, my stars, a bouncer at a popular West Village threw out a lesbian customer from the bathroom, mind you, after last month's gay pride march because she looked too masculine. Now, the patrons, the women who were going there, were complaining there was a man in the restroom. Now, her name it's an unusual first name. Her last name's Farmer. She's 27. It happened on June 24th at a little restaurant on 7th Avenue South, and she'd gone there with her girlfriend and a friend of theirs to have dinner. And, well, she went and she used the women's restroom, and a male bouncer burst in there and was banging on the stall door saying a customer was complaining, "Man, and there's a man in the restroom." And so she said to him, she said, "I am a woman." I want to say, "I am a woman." Watch me roar so bad. But she said, "I am a woman, and I'm here where I'm supposed to be." And she offered to show this jackass some identification, and he said to her, "That's neither here nor there." And then they ushered her out to the table, and they made her pay her bill and forced the whole party to leave. And of course she was embarrassed and humiliated. And now this woman. She's not an evil person. She works with a residential program for people with disabilities. She's a caring, kind person. I mean, obviously, or she wouldn't be in doing that line of work. I mean, you know, God knows people who help, people who are social workers, don't get paid crap. Only the politicians get paid big bucks. But anyway, God bless her. She is being represented by the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund. And she's demanding that the restaurant and the staff train the whole staff not to discriminate, and on the basis of gender identity and expression. There's been no formal complaint or lawsuit filed at this point, but New York law does prevent discrimination. Farmer, now she's not transgendered; she just appeared masculine enough to be mistaken for a man. Now, I have witnessed this. I have seen this. This was a few years back when I was in Denver, Colorado, for a national conference of metropolitan community churches. And production chat is saying, "It's a man, baby." I've got to stop reading production chat. But I've witnessed it. It was Metropolitan Community Churches, which is a Christian church with an outreach to the gay community. Many of you know it. Most of you know it. And I was there for a huge conference. And so it was a Radisson Hotel, big, nice hotel, downtown Denver. And we had the whole spectrum of folks there. We just had everybody. And the hotel kept complaining to our leadership that they didn't want any more of our men going into the women's restroom, because the people who were checked into the hotel who were not part of the conference were horrified that these men were going into the restroom. But after we got it, we were announcing it at the meeting, saying, "Would the men please stop?" And finally we figured, well, duh, it was the lesbians. Jesus, there's just no peace, is there? Oh, Christ in heaven. The men weren't going in the ladies' restroom, for crying out loud. It was the women. So I have seen this, and I've seen straight folks get upset. They just don't want to be around us. I witnessed something like that too, in Tallahassee about a year or so ago, when the Democratic the GLBT Democratic National Caucus was in town. There was a huge meeting at something tree, the Round Tree or the Oak Tree, some big hotel downtown. And so we're having our meetings. It went on for a couple of days, and we had guests. We had Barney Frank there, and you know, it was huge. And so anyway, some woman had scheduled her wedding there, we were like in the elevator, like, so here's this woman. She's like all dressed in this white bridal gown, you know, God bless her. And she's like coming down the elevator, and she's in this elevator with all like lions and tigers and bears. And I mean, there was lesbians in there. There was gay guys in there. And oh, this woman was not pleased. She had a look on her face that could kill. It's as if we had ruined her entire wedding by just being there. Oh, man, she was pissed. I got to tell you, that woman was not happy. No, no, no. Let's see. Depressing. Oh, God. All of it's so depressing. Oh, I know. Here's one. I'll do this one. And this won't take too long, I don't think. It's something I came across today. I thought it was interesting. I knew some of this prior to reading this article, but there's some new twists into it. It's called The Science of Gaydar. And speaking of Gaydar, you know, now that we have control of the web, you guys are going to need Gaydar to determine the paths of the hurricanes and the wind speeds, etc. But apparently there are some very interesting aspects to gays and lesbians beyond just their personality traits and sexual orientation. There are some physical characteristics that are interesting. Now, I knew the one about the index finger. Now, there's this thing about the article goes into great, in fact, it's like 12 pages long, fine print, it's way too much detail, but apparently the index finger, and this I knew, of most straight men, the index finger of heterosexual men is shorter than their ring finger. In other words, if you hold your hand out in front of, like straight out, and you look at your fingers, if you are a heterosexual man, your index finger will be somewhat shorter than your ring finger. And but for women, that's not true. With women, those fingers are normally the same length, or actually the ratio is reversed. It will actually be longer. You know, the index ring finger could be longer. And interestingly enough, that is also true of gay men. That particular physical characteristic of gay men and matches up with straight women. But and that I knew, you know, that came out a while back. But the thing is, I found out this thing: the hair whirl. Now down south we call it a cowlick. I don't know what you guys call it up north. You know, anything north of Atlanta is up north to me. You know, I don't know what you Yankees call it. Down here we call it a cowlick. But basically, it's that thing. You know, just not the top of your head, but just a little bit back where your hair, like, makes that little twirl or that little whirl, you know, back there. So anyway, gay men are more likely than straight men to have a counterclockwise whirl. And straight men, apparently, that whirl, the hair goes in a clockwise direction. Now, this isn't always true, but by far the tendency is to for that to be a clockwise for straight males and counterclockwise for males. They haven't really run this through with women. I think they tried to do it on the sly, except for a few subjects, and then, you know, talk to people later. But, you know, women's hairstyles, often you can't see that, but except for those lesbians that look like men, of course. And there's another thing about the thumbprint I came across. Now, this I didn't realize either. It's new to me. Gay men and straight women have increased density of, you know, the little ridges, okay? They get closer together, the density rises. Gay men and straight women have increased the density rises of the fingerprints of the ridges. Was it when it nears the edge of the finger on both the thumb and the pinky of the left hand? You know what that means? I couldn't tell you, but it's an interesting characteristic that gay men and straight men and gay women share. You know, it's funny the way this wiring works. The article goes into great detail, too, about my stars, I know Lottie knows this, that gland, the hypothalamus, is it the hypothalamus? And, you know, oh, Lord, where isn't the article so long? You know, when gay politics 50 years ago, You know, the government treated us like a menace to national security. You know, and the people, you know, straight people were terrified of even running into us. And of course, you know, these things changed over the years, and not so much lately. They're going back to aversion therapy, which was abandoned in the 70s, by the way. But this change took place. The groundwork of this took place when a person, a woman named Evelyn Hooker, she's a UCLA a psychologist, was approached by a gay student. And the thing is that they looked at where all these studies of homosexuals and women had been, and they were just studying homosexuals, gay and lesbians who are institutionalized. So consequently, they believed that all gays and lesbians, you know, had a high pathology of mental illness or criminal behavior. So they decided they were going to start looking at healthy gay people rather than people who were institutionalized. Now, what happened was AIDS. You know, when a body comes in the morgue, it's marked cause of death and race and, you know, maybe height, I don't know. But it doesn't give your sexual preference, your orientation. So anyway, when AIDS hit, there were, you know, initially it was pretty much gay, but there was suddenly a huge number of cadavers. This is serious stuff here. There were gay men, and so now they had gay men that they could look at and look at the hypothalamus, and you know, people that they knew were gay. And sure enough, they discovered that the hypothalamus is a small region at the base of the brain that's responsible for regulating everything from blood pressure to body temperature, hunger, sex. It's flooded with hormones all the time. Anyway, in straight men, the hypothalamus is larger. The chat room is telling me hypothalamuses and hypothalami. Lord have mercy, I'm not a science guy. Give me a wire and a diode. That's where I'm comfortable. So anyway, the thing here that among women, though, heterosexual women, the hypothalamus is much smaller. And sure enough, they discovered that in gay men, the hypothalamus is on average the same size as in a woman's brain. And it really changed the thinking along about them, because see, before that they thought the brain was hardwired. You know, it was hardwired male, or it was hardwired female. But they were discovering that, you know, things like, you know, what the influences in the womb, in other words, the brain wasn't necessarily hardwired, that it could be wired either way, and that wiring, that activation, did not necessarily match your equipment. And it was an interesting change along about those days. I don't think we're going to try to do that the main dance track for the night. It's kind of long, and we've got a few minutes left here. We might do it, but so anyway, after that was discovered, you know, they went ahead and started looking at because there came a time when there was a thought that the AIDS medications themselves were changing the size of the hypothalamus, so that maybe the AIDS medication on these cadavers, that had shrunk the hypothalamus to the size of a woman. So they decided to repeat this experiment on sheep, because sheep is they're among the 500 animal species where homosexuality has been documented, and there are a lot of sheep who are exclusive in their homosexuality. Like humans, they had, you know, about 8% of the sheep, I guess. So anyway, they opened up some sheep's heads, and they sure enough found that the male sheep who were attracted to other male sheep had a hypothalamus that was the same size as the female sheep, and that and so apparently this has a huge thing to do with it. It's interesting that, you know, it has to do with you know, our physical structure. It's a lot more than just sexual preference. We seem to be wired in so many ways. You know, the hair whirl, the in fact, there's another section here that talks about lesbians, that their bone structure is much longer, like in the arms and the legs. They have longer bones than gay men. You know, and you know, one of the riddles that's still being unraveled is that, you know, 50% of gay identical twins they're identical in every way except their sexuality. One can be straight, one can be gay. So this is where a lot of the thought that has some, you know, the hormones that are being flooded, the fetus is getting in the womb. Yet we have, what was the figure in our very early story? 71% of the population doesn't favor marriage, and they think that we can change. And Jesus Christ, you know, if it comes to all that, you know, You know, coming from my background, growing up gay in the South, religious, you know, I fully believe that, you know, that God could change the color of my eyes to from brown to green. And, you know, but I also believe that I could pray the rest of my life and that, you know, God's not going to do it. I mean, you know, this is what I gave you. Go with it. I mean, there's some things that you wish to pray for, and a change in sexual orientation is one of them. I wish I could locate the section here. As I told you earlier, I didn't have as much time to prepare, so I'm not seeing the section on the lesbians and the bones. Here we go, here we go. I found it here. It says that lesbians are more likely to have, this is interesting, lesbians are more likely to have homosexual relatives than non-lesbians, and that lesbians have notably longer bone growth in their arms and legs, hinting that there is greater androgen exposure during development. Now, we have that's in our chat room. I told you it's the place to go. We've got scientists in there. We've got all kinds of special people in there. You just got to go there talking about this stuff. So anyway, I just thought this was very interesting. Gaydar, there's a lot more to it than tone of voice. You know, and there was a section on that too, by the way, that, you know, in listening to audio recordings that people, the huge amount of time could, you know, if a man was speaking, you know, two men were speaking, one was gay, one was straight, like in a very short time you could quickly identify which one. And, you know, there's discussion as to whether it's the timbre, the phraseology, you know, the cultural code words. Who knows what all that is. But there's a lot to be said about all of this. I'm going to mention this story. It's kind of sad. But we have a kid, he's a teenager, he jumped from a carnival cruise line. He jumped to his death on Sunday. I believe it was this past Sunday. The cruise line left from Galveston, I believe. And the thing about it, he's an 18-year-old kid. He was observed by a bunch of people jumping over the railing of the upper deck of a Carnival cruise line at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and stopped the boat. They pulled his body from the water. He was pronounced dead, and they were a couple of hundred miles out at sea. And the death comes less than 3 months after he testified before Congress about how two teenagers, skinheads as a matter of fact, nearly killed him in 2006. They repeatedly kicked him, and they used a patio umbrella and shoved it into his rectum while screaming, "White power." It's horrible. The kid basically was tired of being identified as that kid, the kid who had gone through that. Apparently he was teased about the fact that he was attacked with a pipe. There was a skinhead named David Tuck. He's been sentenced to life in prison for his part. And we have Kenneth Turner, Keith Turner, who received a 90-year sentence. And he said, "Everybody knows I'm that kid, and I just don't want to stand out anymore. I don't want to be alive anymore." And this doesn't seem to be even gay-related, but it sure shows what a vicious hate crime will do to a kid when they're 18 years old. They attacked him because they believed he stole some drugs and tried to kiss their sisters. Oh, yeah. They poured bleach in his face, too, by the way. They burned him 17 times with cigarettes. They tried to carve a swastika into his chest. This is a Hispanic young man, by the way. So this white power thing was racially motivated. They taunted him with racial slurs. They left him for dead. He was untreated, bleach burning his skin. Burns for over 24 hours, if I'm reading this correctly, at least overnight. He was taken to the hospital, and he's had a number of surgeries to correct this. And so this ties into the math thing. You know, no, we don't need hate crimes protection for race attacks, and we don't need it for gay folks. And pointing out here that he had more than 30 surgeries in his recovery. Boy, I love production chat. I don't know how they're looking over my shoulder. I think there's a little webcam up on over my shoulder I don't know about, but they're able to read these articles as I reference them. Oh, my. I'm going to talk about this. This will be the last story of the evening. I'm just going to briefly cover this, but It's the denial of gay history. We've got a bunch of people. They're in something called a constructionist, SC for short. What they're saying is that there were no homosexuals before the late 19th century. And there was no homosexuality before then. Of course, that's a play on words. What they're trying to do is they're saying that since the word did not exist, of course, there were no homosexuals. Well, duh. But they're trying to extrapolate this into saying that we really shouldn't bother to research our history prior to that period of time, simply because there were no labels, then there was no equivalent social pressure as there is today where we are labeled. Clearly, this is BS, simply because, you know, people back then, they knew that some people preferred men and some people preferred women. This has gone on, like even the Indian culture, they referred to folks like that as people with two spirits. And in other cultures, too, there's a tribe, I don't see the reference here in front of me, as I said, I'm a bit unorganized, that has, they use the fact that, often the last-born son is gay, and I think it's in Polynesia, and so the last-born son is usually the one to take care of the mother, and the word that they do with taking care of mother, and it's like it's planned, it's like, because these families are huge. I mean, this particular culture, 12, 15 kids, whatever. So, the chances of your being a homosexual male rises the more brothers you have ahead of you. So so often the last son is gay. And so, I don't know, where I'm wrapping up tonight. It's been a long day. It started off at the dentist. Then I was horrified at Target. Doggy got her picture taken. I rushed home, tried to compose. But I think it's been a pretty good show, and I've enjoyed myself. We didn't get to the dance track of the night, but we got to plenty of music. And if you guys will have me back, I'd like to come back, and I'd sure like to hear from you next program. Area code 304-658-5912. And just give me a call, and we can talk. Call me now. I'll read your cards. Call me now. The call is free. Not really. So that's really all I know. So I guess we either now I sing show tunes,